happening now at legendary Cocoa Beach.
Fast boats, big parties, and hot concerts converge on Florida's Space Coast with the return of Thunder on Cocoa Beach. 4 days of racing and fun. Thunder on Cocoa Beach features Class 1 boats racing at speeds over 175 miles per hour. Thunder on Cocoa Beach, one of Central Florida's most popular family-friendly attractions, returns for its 16th year on May 15th through 18th. Find out more at legendarycocoabeach.com. That's legendarycocoabeach.com. Find the full weekend schedule and buy VIP and premium viewing at cocoabeach.com.
Lowe's knows that your business is built on speed and trust. That's why the Lowe's Pro Desk is here to get you what you need the moment you need it. We'll help you plan your project, calculate your materials, and pivot when your job takes an unexpected turn. And with our pro-only checkout and dedicated pro parking, you have what you need to tackle your job and be back on the job in no time. Just visit us at the Pro Desk. Lowe's knows pros. We help. You save.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. In today's episode, we answered listeners' questions. People wrote questions in, and we picked some and answered them on this episode. But this was after the intro. Today's intro is 53 minutes long. In the intro, we talk about fitness science, diet, fat loss, muscle gain. It's a good time. By the way, if you want to write in to Mind Pump so we can pick a question, go to Instagram at Mind Pump Media. Now, this episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is 8Sleep. This is a device that goes over your bed, controls the temperature of your bed, uses AI technology to maximize your individual sleep. There is no sleep system like this in the world. It's the most advanced, most effective. Get a good night's sleep so your body can build muscle, burn body fat, and just be healthier. Go check them out. Go to 8sleep.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump. Get $350 off the Pod 4 Ultra. This episode is also brought to you by Paleo Valley. Paleo Valley makes great supplements. Today we talked about their meat sticks. These are not dry. They're delicious. They're healthy. Easy snacks on the go. High protein. Go check them out. Go to paleovalley.com/mindpump. That link will give you 15% off. We also have a sale this month. Maps, HIIT, and the Extreme Fitness Bundle. 50% off. If you want to check them out, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code April50 for the discount. Back to the show. Cardiovascular training. There are real benefits to training your cardio system. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the five best ways to do cardio or how to apply cardio based on what your goal is. I'll start with the first one. If you're looking for functional stamina, the kind of stamina that tends to translate to everyday needs for stamina
and athletics,
HIIT training will give you that in a very short period of time, give you that kind of stamina.
Would you include, because I also think it's I love that it's the first one. I don't know if you did that on purpose or not, but it's like when most people are doing cardio, obviously for cardiovascular health, right, for heart health. So does it equally check the box as somebody who would do something more like long distance? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like, to me, I feel like that.
That's so tough to answer.
Yeah. I know it's a bit nuanced, but I mean, if I'm like, what is the least amount possible I have to do to get the most amount of change or most amount of value, I'd say, out of doing any sort of cardio, 12-minute HIIT checks a lot of those.
I think it's too, it's like how you're applying it. So it's like less impact on the joints as well. So you can bring the risks down a bit and like do something with like a bike and make it, you know,
skeletal. I mean, for sure, impact wise, that's a no brainer. Yeah. But I'm even talking like, listen, I'm not training for anything particular, but I strength train consistently. I know the benefits of cardiovascular health and like why I would want to do cardio. Is 12 minutes enough HIIT for me to really to reap the most benefits from?
Yeah, a couple 2 days a week would do it. But the problem is who's applying it, right? If I'm talking to the person that's like overstressed and we're kind of, you know, dealing with that, you got a new mom or dad, you know, whatever, like I'm not going to do high intensity, you know, if we're talking about longevity and health, I'm not going to apply high intensity interval training to them. I'll save that intensity bucket for the thing that's going to give them most bang for the buck, which is strength training. Then I'll incorporate some other form of cardio that's
probably
maybe more
undulated,
recuperative, right? So, but I'm focusing here on just specific, you know, specific goals here. Now, people have heard us talk on the podcast many times about how cardio is not the best form of exercise for specific aesthetic changes. It's just not like, if you want to look a particular way, strength training is superior because it sculpts, shapes the body. Yeah, it helps your body burn more body fat on its own. I could pick areas of my body to target and develop. Cardio in general isn't a great way to do that. It'll do it for you. It's better than nothing, but it's not the greatest way to do it. But people confuse that conversation with us saying don't do cardio.
The reason why is because I would say something even stronger. It's not even a good way to do it.
Right.
You can like picture the cover of a magazine. If you're a guy or girl, doesn't matter. Pick the most ultimate body and physique. I can get you to that physique and never do any cardio.
That's right.
I can't give you that without strength training.
Right.
Impossible. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's not even a close comparison. Right. It's the only argument, in my opinion, is the health argument.
Yes.
Is if somebody, and 100% it is very good for you for that.
Yes.
But if you are coming to me about looking a certain way, or burning body fat, mm-hmm. or sculpting your butt, it's
not the best tool for the job.
It's not even close.
No.
It's not even good.
No. Now, that being said, I mean, it is good for health. You do want to train the system of the body. For performance, specific types of performance, you need to do this for the most part. And I will say this, healthy always looks good, right? It always looks good. So improving your overall health is probably going to make you look better. Strength training tends to be the foundation of that. If, again, how you look is important to you. But to go back to what I was saying, functional stamina, I use that term and it's like, okay, what does that mean? The kind of stamina you might need in your everyday life to like chase your kid because they're running out to the street or you're going to go play something at the park or something like that. Like that kind of stamina, a 2 or 3 days of 12 minutes a hit will give you that.
Think about any time in your life for the average person that's not playing a sport. When do you ever need more than 12 minutes?
Yeah.
You won't.
No.
Going after
just
anything.
Small bouts. And that's the other thing, too, is just practicing like moving quickly. Mm-hmm. I think like HIIT is a really good option for that because that is a skill. And
that's
if you
right.
lose that skill, that you're more susceptible and vulnerable to injury.
That's right. Next would be for longevity. All right. What's the best form of, quote unquote, cardio for just overall health from the rest of my life? Walking at a brisk pace. There's nothing that is better in the long term for your longevity than walking. Now, that's not to say that the other stuff we're going to talk about won't improve your longevity, but there's a skill requirement. There's an injury risk issue. There's a how often am I going to be able to do this consistently? Can I do this throughout the day? Or do I have to change into workout clothes? The skill, again, like I got to learn this skill of running or cycling or whatever. Walking everybody can do pretty much any time. Mm-hmm. And it's just great for overall health. And in our experience as trainers, it's the thing that people can do consistently. They do it. And if they get into a rhythm of it, it sticks with them for the
rest
of their life.
It's so mechanical to me. Like if you just look at the body, if your car is just sitting there, it's rotting away and all the systems mm-hmm. in the car aren't going to work well. It's like, you have to express all these things. And to do that without too much intensity and something that's like pretty leisurely, like walking is the perfect way to do that.
I know we've talked about it before and we've shared the story of back when we were trainers and the technology started to evolve and the body bug came around and we all have individual stories, which by the way, I mean, we weren't even in the same gym. This is just, so it's like a great example of like that. We all came to the same conclusion mm-hmm. of, oh my God, I have clients that on their off day of training with me are burning significantly more calories. Yeah. And what that was, they were active. They went to the mall, they went shopping, they were mowing their lawn, they were, I looked at like the calorie expenditure for the day, it's like, I know I kicked their ass on Wednesday at an intense, because back in the days when I didn't know what I was doing, it was just like all about crushing your client. Yeah. And I crushed them on that workout and they only burned this many calories. And on a day they didn't even come to the gym, they burned this much. And so when you think about, so aside from health benefits, recovery benefits mm-hmm. of walking, what most people are interested in is fat loss and in getting in shape. I quickly realized like, oh shit, this is even a better modality for that as far as like keeping their calorie imbalance in check. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's the barrier to entry is so low that it's like, it's not hard to say, cause you can be in jeans and cowboy boots like Doug and go, hey, go for a walk for a half hour. And he could do that. Maybe not in those heels, but Oscar most people could. Could do that.
Those are big deals. It is. It's also one of those interesting forms of activity that has a recuperative effect, right? So when you're under high stress, you got to be very careful with exercise intensity because you just push your body over the limit, it becomes detrimental. Walking is a great way to actually help your body deal with stress. And I don't mean just like, let me get the stress out, you know, let me go beat myself up, but rather, does it actually physiologically assist my body to handle stress and recover from stress? It does.
Such a good point. It's actually really easy to overdo cardio.
Yes.
It's really hard to overdo walking.
That's right. You have to walk a lot.
A lot. And also be really abusing your body
and
elsewhere.
Move weird or go fast. It's like it doesn't really look good.
But it is. It's the art of applying in intense cardio in order to see fat loss results or performance results, there's a real art to it. There's a fine line of too much, not enough, whatever. Walking is like, tough to like overdo that. Like, totally. Do it. How much you do it? Do it more. It's like, it's an easy thing to recommend. And for the average person, it's an easy thing for them to decide, is that enough? Or can I do more?
And for longevity's sake, again, when you look at populations that live a long time, the exercise component they tend to do the most is walk a lot. They tend to live in cities that encourage this. So they tend to walk a lot to the grocery store. They walk a lot to work, and it just works out that way. And it's just a great longevity form of cardiovascular exercise. Next up is for long lasting endurance, right? The kind of endurance that we tend to think of when we say endurance. Well, this one's just steady state, moderate forms of endurance, cardio. So this would be like getting on elliptical or doing a slow jog or riding your bike for long periods of time. The intensity is moderate. And what this develops is the kind of stamina and endurance you need to do those types of activity. This takes more time. So, whereas HIIT cardio is, 12 minutes, 15 minutes at most, this you're looking at 30, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. But it's also, again, if you want that kind of long lasting endurance, then this is the way you're going to have to do
it. This is the mindless version of it too. It's like, there's a benefit to that. Cause it's like, you're kind of just moving in the same direction and you kind of get into this rhythm to where, a lot of times all that chatter in your mind, for me, at least, it's almost meditative at that point.
Now, cause I would almost categorize these the same, like walking for periods of time versus steady state cardio are really one and the same.
They're close, but one's more intense. So you're going to get more endurance from the steady state, than you are from the walking type of deal.
Okay.
So it's really just an endurance.
So you're thinking like the heart rate's like kind of zone two. You're upping the heart rate. Like we're walking, you're zone one still probably. It's real leisurely.
This is like, I want endurance that allows me to ride my bike for an hour and a half on the weekend. Well, then you got to train this way, essentially. Mm-hmm. Whereas walking won't necessarily give you that. This kind of cardio will. This is the traditional cardio that most people associate with cardio when they get on the machine at the gym and they stay on there for a while, type of deal.
Although I would say a lot of people are a little they're going a little harder on there because they're, again, thinking that the more I sweat, the more the better off I am.
Next up, you want endurance for your sport. The best way to do that is to practice your sport. There's no better way to improve your endurance in a specific way than to practice the way that you want the endurance to build for.
And a lot of that is just the wasted energy.
That's
so
right.
To be able to practice it and hone in on, the efficiency and the effectiveness of that particular movement, your body recognizes it more efficiently, and then you don't struggle through that movement quite as much, which then burns all this wasted amount of energy.
Yes, this I told this story on a recent podcast where I was training very consistently Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I was competitive. This was like the my highest level I had ever been. And I had a buddy who was a boxing coach, and he took me through some mitt work. Mm-hmm. And now at the time with jiu-jitsu, I could go. I mean, I could do, 30, 40 minutes straight going through different opponents with good stamina. Here I was hitting the mitts, and 10 minutes in, I wanted to die. And I was like, what's going on here? Yeah. My body it didn't have the efficiency that I did with jiu-jitsu. So what happens with the specific type of endurance is your body learns how to conserve energy because it develops a skill of that particular,
law specificity.
Yeah. So you could have great endurance doing a workout, try a completely new skill because your body's not good at that skill.
Gassed.
You're just getting totally gassed.
There's some carryover, but it's very minimal. It's like, obviously you doing nothing was
worse
than you doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu like that. I mean, if you put it on a scale of 0 and 10, nothing is zero. I don't know, your jiu-jitsu maybe gave you 5 towards that thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it gave you better than the guy
who you're gonna... boxing would have given me a 10.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. Exactly. Yeah. So, and it, by the way, I remember there was a show that they, I can't remember the name of it. It used to be on the, I want to say the Science Channel.
Where he goes to learn everybody's like martial art.
Yeah. I love that show. And they did this test where they had.
Is that the one they did all the different knife fighting and all the different arts?
I think it was.
Like, yeah, around the world. He would learn it and then try it. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had, I think it was
Randy. What was it called?
Oh, God. I don't remember. It was awesome.
No, it was a rad show, though.
It was such a cool show. And they had Randy Couture. I think it was Randy Couture, I want to say, on there. And he was doing a rear naked choke on a dummy that was measuring pressure, and then they were measuring muscle activation, and they were seeing how long he could keep the pressure for.
Yeah.
And what they found was his muscles were instinct, without him knowing, because he had such good technique, were switching activation to maintain tension.
Wow.
Whereas the average fit person would just gas out.
Overdoing it, with certain muscles.
His body became extremely efficient. Wow. So, and you see this on studies with athletes where—
I geek out on that.
An athlete will burn so many calories doing the sport that they're good at, they'll switch to a different sport, super fit, and their body burns tons more calories because their body doesn't know how to
do it. It's so wild. It's such a subconscious thing that
it's
people
so
aren't.
Cool.
It's so cool that your body is designed that way to just over time. It's like, okay, we have to get efficient at whatever this thing is.
That's right.
And you know, and I don't want to say cheating, but it's figuring all the ways it could hack into conserving as much energy as possible. Even subconsciously, you're not even actively doing it. You're not
adapting.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Wild. Lastly, for muscle. All right. What's the best way to do cardio to help my strength training? High reps, short rest periods.
That's the way.
And by the way, this helps. This helps you build muscle, because if you're gassing out on your sets, you're not able to get the most out of your sets. And look, bodybuilders for decades have been saying one of the best things you could do for your legs are sets of 20 reps of squats. Bodybuilders have been saying this forever.
Yeah,
okay. Power lifters that switched to bodybuilding have said this, like, oh my God, I started doing 15 reps, 20 reps. My legs exploded, right? Do you know how much you need a ridiculous amount of stamina to be able to do this?
A ridiculous amount of stamina.
So training this way, if you need that stamina to be able to complete those high rep sets, well, then you got to practice.
Well,
that.
Now this, and I love this is last that you put this, because this to me really explains the philosophy of how we try and communicate. Like, because most people are trying to get in just good shape, they want to look good or whatever. That they also don't want to sacrifice health. But if you incorporate every 2 to 3 months a cycle of a month of 20 reps of all the exercises you're doing, and you do 12 minutes of HIIT. Like also intermittently throughout your training,
you're getting good stamina.
For most people, you can run a mile and probably beat them without ever even training a mile, from doing that alone. That'll give you enough stamina to be pretty damn good cardiovascularly wise. Yeah. And I just think that most people don't want to do that. Because if you've ever done 20 reps on a barbell back squat, it is rough.
The monster. Send me home.
Yeah. Yes.
Send me home.
It is rough.
In fact, I was reading up on on one of the most famous bodybuilders with great squat, great lower body, Tom Platz. And I looked this up to confirm it because I don't remember what the exact number was.
Crazy. So
here's the confirmed number. This was the confirmed number. This was witnessed by many, many people. They reported in a magazine. He insanely strong lower body, incredibly fit. First, he demonstrated how strong he was by doing 10 reps with 500 pounds in the squat, which is crazy. Then he did 225 for 10 minutes. He squatted 225 straight for 10 minutes. You're telling me that's not stamina and endurance?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
ridiculous. You tell me that guy can't go run a mile?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he could. He might start a fire, though, with his legs rubbing because his legs are so big. But that's crazy.
100%.
That's insane.
100%.
All right, so I read something yesterday that really annoyed the hell out of me. Because of how just the lack of integrity, and I get that a company's job is to make profit, and I don't want to change that, because then that puts the consumer in charge. But boy, can they be sneaky and tricky and slimy in how they do certain things. So right now, the awareness around artificial dyes has exploded. Okay. Everybody knows red dye. They're actually going to ban it.
That's where we started, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but all the dyes, all the artificial dyes, have been connected to neurological issues and health issues in children and animals. And so we're really trying to. And this awareness has exploded, especially since RFK, got in charge of all this. And there's data. There's data to support a lot of this. This isn't just some conspiracy theory. There's lots of data. In fact, like again, FDA banned red dye. So what does the food industry do? with the dyes. What do you guys think they did with the dyes? Because they're not all banned. It's just the it's just red.
Move it over to the
add a molecule to it so it comes up as something a little bit different, but it's still the same
Even easier, you guys. So when you're looking at the food label, what are you looking for when you're looking for the dyes? You're looking for
they change the name of it.
Blue number two, or you're looking at yellow number five, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
You know what they did?
What?
They just changed the names of them.
Mother.
So blue number one, if you look at your food label, is now called Brilliant Blue. Blue number two is now called
positive, like fucking reinforcement too. There,
some of them they even try and make
they
them sound.
They should have been so healthy red.
Yeah. Too obvious. Yeah. Too obvious. Blue number two is called Indicatine. Green number three is called Fast Green, which is weird. Fast Green.
Fast Green.
Yeah. Oh, I'll get this for my kids. Red number three is called Erythrocine. Red number 40 is called Allura Red. Yellow number five is called Tartrazine. Yellow number six is called Sunset Yellow. So you're going to look at the food label, and you're going to look at this, and it's going to say, you know, sugar, blah, you know, wheat, blah, 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 blah. Sunset Yellow, and most parents.
Can we just talk about the brilliance of this, though? As I mean, there's just because here's what you know.
Adam can't shut off his business.
So if you're a business, you know, like, listen, what are we gonna do? We're not gonna get
pivot.
We're not gonna get that health nut, Barbara. She's fucking. She reads everything. She knows. She's up on the side. But what we're gonna get is all of Barbara's friends who she's talked to and some of that, and they're kind of aware, like, oh, I should look out for red dye.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But doesn't really care that much, isn't paying attention. But they are now because Barbara's always in their ear, and they flip the label around now and they don't see that thing, and then they're still gonna go eat it.
Yellow 40, but majestic yellow.
And that's a majority of people.
Yeah.
And they're not gonna win over the people that are super on top.
How would you know if you're not I wouldn't know. If I saw that as an expert, as a health and fitness expert, I would just say, what is that? And then maybe I wouldn't even think twice about it. Maybe I would look it up, but it would require me to look it up. If I saw Sunset Yellow. Yeah,
Brilliant Blue.
I mean, what's Sunset Yellow? Fast Green. What's Fast Green? What the hell's going on here? So, okay, I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't even think. It would actually make me maybe at the most pause and look it up. I had to see this.
I mean, if I can't pronounce it or I've never seen it before, I'm like automatically.
That's why they changed the name.
Yeah,
because it's no longer like yellow number three. Like, you know, that's a chemical, right? Tartrazine. I don't know. Maybe sunset yellow. Maybe. I don't know. Fast green
peptide.
That might be. Yeah, dude. Isn't that frustrating?
Oh, it's dirty.
That makes me so mad. But that's the food industry. You know, they did that with sugar, by the way. When you look at the back of,
because
people got afraid of sugar, so then they would go dehydrated. Cane juice or whatever. They would do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sugar. That's all I'm saying.
That's so good. Anyway. Hey, since you went business, I have to bring it up because I had it on my notes to tell you guys and I hadn't had an opportunity to bring it up. Did you guys see what Budweiser was doing for advertising? I thought this was so smart. I thought it was so cool. Dylan, did you see it? Did you see what they did with Ovechkin? Okay, so Alex Ovechkin is who the jersey we bought for Jordan Shallow?
Yeah.
The hockey player?
Yeah.
He just passed Wayne Gretzky in all-time goals.
He's
the all-time scorer now. Wow. So
did he do it in the same period of time as Gretzky?
That's a good question. I don't know if it was the same period of time or not.
Because then that would, you know.
I know that's the Jordan and LeBron argument, right? That's a good question. I'm not as proficient in hockey as I am in basketball. So maybe Doug can look it up. But what I thought was the right away, the Budweiser thing I thought was so clever. So they created these special cases that got sent out. I think there was 38 of them. Maybe you look up Ovechkin Budweiser campaign and sent it out to the only 38 goalies that he didn't score on. So and they made this huge campaign about it. And so they're like these collector things, and they all got, I forget what they named them or what they called them. Maybe Doug can pull it up so you guys can see, but I thought it was so smart. Oh, there it is right there.
Yeah. Special 28 goalies.
How many?
28.
Yeah, 28 goalies that he didn't score on. He scored on so many goalies.
That's smart.
And then they create this whole campaign.
Well, Anheuser-Busch is really getting, just switched their advertising.
Well, yeah. Yeah, massive, massive.
King of Zero campaign.
King of Zero.
Yeah. Isn't that great? I thought that was so clever.
Yeah, find out how long he's been playing to get that to break Gretzky's record and how long Gretzky played.
Also, since we're bringing up Budweiser, I mean, remember we hammered them a couple of years ago. Like, how much do you think they turned around?
Did you look at their stock?
Remember, do you remember what I said? Yeah, I said they would be fine. I said they'll be fine.
Did you buy them?
Well, no, I didn't
buy. See, this is what I got to do. I got to buy what Adam says
when he says some things and doesn't buy.
But not buy when he buys.
Always go, yeah.
That's how I win.
Hey, listen, I've said on this podcast a long time, do not take my stock advice. I am not that person at all. It is 100%. I'm actually a better sports gambler than I am a stock picker, dude.
You are, dude.
I am way better. That's why I get so frustrated with that. I'm like, I've been on this kick for like last year of really those that pay attention to my gambling because I tend to share it. I've not at all. And I've been like, oh, stock guy, I'm doing this. And then you know what happens?
You're losing.
Well, so I've told you, what do they call that where you just consistently buy no matter what?
Cost average.
Yeah, dollar cost average, right? So I've just been doing that, just consistent.
And that's, same amount.
Yeah, same amount, same down, time, yeah. Doesn't matter. I don't even look at where it is. I'm not trying to. And then what happens is I get some inside information. That was NVIDIA. Okay, yeah. That was the other bad one. And that's like, oh man. And I throw a little extra at it. Then I consistently do every month, and it's always those.
From now on,
and it fucks my whole portfolio up.
From now, all right. Alex Ovechkin surpassed Wayne Gretzky in goals per season by scoring 895 career goals, breaking his record of 894. Gretzky played 20 seasons. Ovechkin also has played 20 seasons, achieving this milestone, and so he beat him with the same number of games by one goal.
Wow.
Oh.
Is that right?
According to this.
That's freaking awesome.
Wow. That's good.
That is cool, right?
So what I'm going to do from now on, when you tell me something, Adam.
You're like, did you buy it?
Yes. Are you buying it? No. I'll buy it. Okay. Yes. Not going to buy it.
I don't know how, but keep repeating that to the audience.
It's consistent.
Don't buy my stock picks. So I am not at all.
We know fitness, everybody.
Yeah, relax. Exactly.
Hey, so remember how we talked about great ways, like superfoods, and I put sardines on there.
Yeah.
And we got all like debatey about it. And you guys were like, it's gross, this and that.
Yeah.
So I got sardines here.
Oh.
Now listen, I even got, now they're not prepared specially. Dylan's got them here. It's got just salt and it even has the skin. So I gave you the worst version of sardines just to see what you think.
Skin's healthy though.
It's extremely healthy, bro. So take a little nibble.
Oh my God.
And let us know what you think.
I'll take a real
nibble. You're a brave soul.
Yeah, you do. But it's got the skin and everything. So yeah.
I can smell from here. Don't even try to tell me what that, what is that?
That's probably the spine.
Oh, bro, come on
here. No. Also, tell me if it tastes like cat food. Just, you know.
It's not bad.
For posterity.
He likes raw fish, dude.
I know. He can handle this.
It's a little fishy.
Yeah, because of the skin.
Yeah, it's a little fishy for me.
Yeah. Okay. We'll try it again without the skin next time.
Yeah.
I know you can get
what I'm props, dude. For sure.
What I'm really curious about, I think Jim said it was a mustard. I would
add mustard to it.
I could see that because maybe it would bring down the
fish. Your inflammation looks like it's going down though right now.
Just gotta keep building all these associations on top of it.
That's how you get me right there. Yeah. Your face is less fat.
Growing. Wow.
Your face is less fat today.
Your face got chiseled instantly. That's how we close out of
your breath's off the chains, but you know.
Don't kiss him.
I mean it
that's the skin.
It tastes like what you would think. It tastes a little too fishy for me. I don't know how you can sit there and just eat a whole bowl.
I don't like it with skin. I go skinless.
Is it make that big of a difference?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
So maybe if I do skinless, maybe a little bit of mustard or Tabasco really sauce.
Good. Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Bro, one can of that, you're getting so many, high.
But I've seen shakes that you're willing to eat, you know?
No, like, I'm not going to sell you that. I'm not going to lie to you. Yes, I made tuna fish protein shakes when I was a kid.
Oh, God.
And chicken breasts. I throw a little chicken breast there. That's how bad you want it, Justin. You must not want it.
Committed.
Yeah, dude.
You could probably shame me.
I've also not thrown my body against 300 pound animals in this field.
With your head, leading with your head.
It's real healthy.
I'll take the shake, dude.
Did you record yesterday? Did you do some of your, where are you at right now?
I was at Monday. I did record.
Okay, so yesterday was a day off. Mm-hmm. You train today?
I'll train today when I make it to Palm Desert.
So. Have you? I forgot you're driving down there today, huh?
Flying down there.
Yeah, do you train while you're down there?
Yeah, they have a good, it's like a.
Are you going to the Gold's gym I used gym? To own? No, that's the one I used to target. Is that the one in Cathedral City?
No. It's right there. I don't know if it's Gold's or if it's like a Worlds. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
I think it might actually be a Worlds. But yeah, I love training there, dude. It's a great gym. It's like old school, kind of. Has a bodybuilder vibes.
Dude, Adam sent me a page on Facebook where they sell old school bodybuilding equipment. So people will post.
Ugh.
And I saw on there, and I would have bought it. Somebody else bought it. They were just showing it off.
I saw on there the pullover machine we talk about all the time.
Oh yeah,
the Nautilus one with the chain
on it.
Actually, I like that one.
Listen,
that's the best.
Kids, cool. Yeah, you know, boys and girls watching this right now.
Kids,
anybody younger than me, they used to have machines. The best machines that I've ever used in my life, which they will never put in gyms again, did not have a belt or a cable. They literally had a bike chain.
Yeah.
And the wheel was like a spoke. And it just felt
it's 100% only safety reasons why they got rid of it.
Yeah, bro, you put your finger in there, you're gone.
Your pinky's like,
that has to be the reason, right?
Of course.
Because it's not any better to do it the other.
It's better with the chain because it never slipped, it never frayed.
That is $10,000 they still sell for.
Wow. See?
Talk about holding their value. Jeez.
Well, because it's amazing.
But yeah, that's kind of wild when you think about that.
You know what?
New supposedly.
Adam.
What?
You like buying things that go up in value.
The asset.
Can we have one in here?
That is like an asset. That's how you give me that right there. Like, listen,
we should buy one.
These things are holding their value. That thing was $2,000 30 years ago. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Think of our lats.
I mean, that's crazy. When you think about that, that's.
Think of our lats, man.
I would have never guessed that. Okay. Yeah. Think of where. Give me an example where you see something like that. Okay. That Nautilus machine, I don't know how many years old that is. It's got to be 20, 30 years old.
I think the last time they made those with the chain.
20 years plus.
More.
Okay, yeah.
It would have been the early 90s.
So yeah. 30 years ago.
It'd be like in a Gold's Gym that never changed. At
30 years ago, that did not cost $10,000.
No, bro. It was maybe $1,000 at most.
Yes.
Because you could buy a brand new pullover machine right now, high quality gym, like, you know, hammer strength right there, $4,500. They're selling the old Nautilus one for $10,000 because... It gave you lat gains, everybody. That's exactly why.
I would have never guessed that was holding value like that.
Hey, speaking of gains and stuff, you've been complaining about your sleep. Did you get your 8 sleep back?
So listen to what happened. So I told you guys that the mattress thing got like a leak or something in it. And by the way, 8 sleep's been incredible.
Yeah, like, just getting too rough and...
Oh, I don't even know. They asked me to send it back so they could kind of, it's so unusual for that to happen. And so I thought it was just a mattress. So I finally got it. I was complaining about my, like, oh my God, I forgot like how much I depend on this thing. Finally got it back. And then all of a sudden I'm like, it doesn't feel like it's cooling down like as much. It was doing something, but it wasn't cooling down. Like that thing is like, it really cools down. And I'm like, this doesn't feel right. And Katrina's like, well, maybe something's going on with the motor. And that was why maybe that's what led to the leak. Maybe it was something was off. And I'm like, cause I thought it was fine. So I'm like, you know what? It does sound like it's running a little weird. So let's send that back. Well, sure as shit, man. And I forgot, you know, before the AI kicks in, it's kind of learn. It's got to figure out what to call it. Yes. You know, and so you initially set it for whatever. So I'm like, oh, cold as it gets, you know. Yeah. Holy shit, dude! Arctic. I mean, I've got myself in bed like this, like freezing, because I had it at 10, as low as it'll go. But it takes about, I'd say, about 3 nights of the tweaking,
learning you,
before it starts to settle back down.
So awesome!
But it's been now, I think, almost a week. By 1 weekend, it's like in the last couple nights, I had said something to Katrina because she was like, oh my God, your bed is so, your site is so fucking cold. She's like getting mad at me. And I'm like, it's got to learn me. It's not there yet. And it's now learning.
What it does is it monitors your movement, your sleep, your stages of sleep. Yeah. And then it literally adjusts the temperature on the fly and it learns your body.
You know, what's cool.
That's crazy.
You know, what's a cool feature that I didn't have turned on before, that since I was going through this whole resetting anyways, I'm like, oh, let me play with that feature because I didn't really use it before. So I'm using the wake up thing. And so there's two things.
You've never done that before?
Yeah. So there's
love
two.
That.
Yeah, there's two things. So I like it freezing cold, right? -8 is about where my body likes it. And then it changes through the night. And then around, I want to say 6:30, I think is where I have it scheduled, or 7 in the morning, it starts to rise up to 5 +5.
And so that wakes
you
up.
Warm. And then it also combines with, so that I have it set at, I think 7:30 is like my ass better be out of bed. It'll start vibrating. So it has like a little, and it's like real subtle. It's not like obnoxious. It's like voof, 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 all these like little, just real, real subtle between the heat and then the slight vibration. It's such a like incredible way to wake up. And I hadn't used that before.
Do you guys remember? I mean, it doesn't jolt you out of bed like an alarm clock. Do you guys remember old hotel rooms?
Where you put coins in?
Magic fingers. Yep. Coins in the bed and it would vibrate.
That was the thing.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, some freaks.
I know, it's great though. I loved it as a kid.
Wow.
I bet. Yeah.
Were your parents a little like uncomfortable.
Make everything dirty, hey, don't little, you?
Tell us more. Tell us more, Doug.
Hey, little Dougie. Little Dougie, we're going to go get breakfast. Yeah. Yeah. No, Mom, I want to sleep in bed. Yeah. Can I borrow a quarter?
Can I use the heart jacuzzi in the mirrors?
Does that stuff still exist? I wonder if there's got to be stuff.
I don't think so.
No? You literally was a bed. This is so cheesy. Yeah. It had a freaking coin slot.
Yeah.
Inside. You put it in there.
Yeah. It's called Magic Fingers. Yeah.
Oh, is that what it was? Magic is that really
fingers.
What it was called?
It's called Magic Fingers. Wow. I remember it.
You know, the irony,
you know, so I'm always interested about stuff like this too. Like that was probably a thing for, I don't know, at least a decade or so.
Yeah. Right? That and the water beds and all
like,
that.
Who are the companies that, is this right here? Anymore.
Oh yeah. How much does a Magic Fingers bed cost? That's something that got went up in value.
Yeah, you did. I kind of want one for the nostalgia.
I think it's a device that goes with a bed.
Oh, so it actually wasn't the bed. It was just a thing that actually shook the bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You could put it on, any bed.
I think so, yeah.
How much is it for sale? Find us some Magic Fingers for sale. I'd be really interested to see what that looks like.
I mean, get those for the kids. Wake
what,
up in the morning.
Hey, what a name. What a name for that, too. Well, oh, no, you know, the rabbit hole Doug's going down now.
Yeah, let's see. Don't type in vibrator.
No, I didn't. Well, it vibrated, yeah.
So, no, you just put Magic Fingers, Doug.
Okay.
History sale that
week. Yeah, some weird looking massagers.
It's on its way. Be there by Tuesday.
Yeah, it's all. You want another one?
Bed
yeah.
units.
See, now they got the new expensive ones.
You know, 8 Sleep, so I don't have that, but 8 Sleep also offers a mattress that adjusts. And so there is a part of me that's curious to do that. I really like my mattress, and so I had it before we started with them. But I am curious, because it's supposed to adjust if you're snoring and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
It kind of sits you upright.
That's
so
great.
That helps.
Hey, did you, I got to tell you guys about something funny I read about Doge. Just one little thing they did at the government. So you guys know Doge, right? The Department of Government Efficiency.
Yes.
And the stuff that they're showing is just, some of it's just like, what is happening?
Dude.
The most comical
crazy.
Thing. The most comical thing I just read. So they're going through trying to make everything more efficient and easier to use and whatever. And they went on the IRS website. And the login for it was in the middle of the page. And everybody knows you should put that in the top right corner. Stupid. Just move the login thing from the middle to the top right so people know where to log in, because they were getting messages or whatever. So they sent it to whoever manages the page for the government.
Development, yeah.
Like, can you please move the login from the middle to the top right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, okay, should be done in...
Don't tell me they collected like way
$80,000.
No, no. He's like, it should be done in 100 days.
100 days?
So Doge is like, went in there and fixed it in 70 minutes. And they're like, yeah, dude. And then they told everybody about
you
it.
You guys suck.
I know, bro. Can you imagine?
So it was. I'm so not into the.
It's the worst from
the meme, the meme coins and stuff like that. Yeah. Is the original Doge coin related to that?
No, but that was like a joke. It was like a joke coin.
It is kind of weird.
Well, I think he actually put it out on Twitter to kind of like coin like some kind of acronym for it, and then that was like what they came up with, because the government it was related to like a Department of Government Efficiency. It like just kind of lined up for that, and it was like related.
So Doge was a meme,
and it was just all funny.
It was a first
had before, nothing to do with the Department of Government Efficiency.
The meme of the dog.
Yes, there's a dog that was memed, and they would call it the Doge dog or Doggy or whatever.
Doggy Doge.
And then that became a coin. That's the picture of the dog right there. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah. What kind of dog is that? It's really cute.
Yeah. Shiba Inu.
There you go.
Shiba Inu.
Yeah, dude.
How'd you know that? Where did you see that?
You can kind of see the picture in
I
that.
I can see the dog.
Look up Shiba Inu so he can see what that looks like.
It looks like a corgi a little bit.
It's a Japanese dog. That's why Doug knows it. Doug knows everything.
Is it really? That's what it is? That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a Japanese dog. And they look like little cute puppies. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, there he is.
I want one of those. Super cute. Yeah. Anyway, question. What is, we have the Paleo Valley meat sticks in the back, and Jerry's always refilling them.
Yeah.
Which one do you guys go to first?
Jalapeno.
Summer sausage.
Oh, good. So we're all different.
You're a summer sausage guy, huh?
What are you?
Oh, I like the buffalo chicken one.
Oh, no, buffalo chicken.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like the traditional.
What was the turkey one that they had?
That was pretty good.
That was only, it was like cranberry turkey or something. It was so good.
No, where are you at? What are you out of that?
I like the jalapeno one.
You got the taste, that's why.
So I'm the only one eating the buffalo style chicken stick one.
Yeah,
it's so good. Yeah, I'll crush these all day long.
And the venison version of the summer sausages and all that too. Really good.
Yeah. Super good. Adam yesterday sent me, not yesterday, it was like a few days ago, sent me a clip on the game Peekaboo and why it's so valuable for kids. Did you guys watch it? Did you send it to everybody?
I don't know if I sent to everybody or not. I don't remember.
So when children are really little, they don't have a concept of object permanence.
Right.
So in other words, I could put like a pair of glasses on the table and a little kid will see it. And then I'll cover it with a napkin and the glasses are gone. They don't know it's under the napkin.
So is this like addressing separation anxiety, like real early?
Yeah. So they just don't know. It's gone. Yeah. It's gone forever. And then I lift the napkin. Oh, there it is. Right. So playing peekaboo with little kids, really little kids, when you cover your face, they think you're gone.
Yeah.
Their brain doesn't perceive that you're there. But then you move your hands and you're there. And it's a great practice because it starts to teach them.
It's okay.
Yeah. That daddy's coming back.
Yeah.
Sometimes daddy's gone, but then he's coming back. Sometimes daddy's gone. Sometimes he's coming back. I thought that was really cool.
I love hearing stuff like that we've like historically done for so long.
Not even knowing why.
And never really thought about it. Like, yeah. Who the hell came up with this? Yeah. And why would you come up?
No, the best benefit is that they laugh.
Well, what's a trip like, is, oh, I love what it. I also trip out is like, you know that because of all the research study and stuff like that we've done recently, but we were probably doing it well before that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so who...
I think you just did it, and the kid, like Justin said, makes kids laugh.
Yeah.
So you just keep doing
that's
it.
That's like a
you
hack.
You think so?
Of course. Yeah. Who doesn't like making babies laugh?
Nobody's like, oh, scientifically, I'm like, this is going to help with their separation anxiety. It's like, nobody's thinking that when they're playing with a kid, dude. It's like, I love how they just come up with these things, and they're like, oh, this is valuable.
Well, you guys remember this when your kids were really little?
I mean, but the pyramids, dude, come on. So you just stumble, let's stack some things up in a triangle, well, we'll just see what happens.
That's different.
They had some deep-ass science going into that. It's like, how did you get to that,
It was demons.
Demon technology.
Demon technology did that. No, it's like you guys remember when your kids were really little. Like this is an everybody thing. Moms, dad, everybody. You make a little baby laugh. Whatever you did, you're gonna do.
You want to find that formula
constantly.
Yes,
that's just fair. Make them giggle their little butts off.
Yeah, that's fair.
And just laugh.
I'm sure that never changed.
And it doesn't. Do you guys ever watch that animated show? It's the one where the baby gets delivered by the stork. And
storks.
Storks. Thank you very much. It's called storks. Yeah. And the baby at the end. When the wolves catch the baby and she hits the bird in the head and they laugh. So they just let him, that's what it is with babies. Like if a baby hits you in the face and they laugh, keep going.
Yeah.
Let's just keep doing this.
That's a great movie. I love that movie.
Such a good movie. Anyway. Good stuff. So, another good study on sleep, which is interesting. So are you guys familiar with aromatherapy? No jokes, Justin. I mean, the real...
I don't know about the science, but I'm aware of it because it's popular in like Katrina's clinic. They used to do it where massage therapy and stuff like that. So I'm assuming that it's like certain smells calm you. Like that's why we're lavender.
It's all essential oil. Like that's where it kind of spawned off and became an MLM because of this the science.
There is you didn't know there's a huge MLM hustle.
Yeah, there's a big one.
Dude. Yes. But there's probably an MLM for everything.
How many MLMs target men versus women? Why don't you look that
up? Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
Do you guys want to make a bet?
One out of every 1,000?
Yeah. I don't know. I'd say guys are just as susceptible. So, I mean,
MLMs? Women, you think? No.
No,
you don't. Exactly. And I don't think it's that women are more
susceptible. Well, you have Anway, you have the candles. Yeah, I mean, the women are going to take the cake.
You know why? I think. I don't think.
They're the buyers, though.
Yes. Yeah. And they're also, they also have lots of friends and connections. You get the average 4-year-old dude. Yeah. Hey, sell this to all your friends.
Yeah, you have to go. I'm done.
I already called
Steve. I called. They're just over.
Steve hates that shit. I can't. I'll never be able to start this thing.
Yeah, you called me an asshole.
There are no stats on that. However, generally, a greater proportion of MLM companies appear to cater to predominantly female demographics.
Of course.
Yeah, but that's companies.
Yeah, I know.
Because women are the buyers.
They're the buyers, but they're also, again, MLM is all about your connections, your community, your network. And men's network ends with one dude. And and when's the last time we talked to him? About 3 months ago.
Doug, since you brought up MLM, have you seen the skepticism and about Patrick Bet David and the insurance,
company, how he made his money?
Yeah. There's a handful of these guys that have built these massive MLMs, and of course they don't promote it as an MLM, but when you pull back the curtains and you look at the financial structure of it is. What is your take being in the insurance?
So here's the thing. I don't know all the details about his MLM, right? Yeah. However, I do know the insurance business and independent agents, which I was an independent agent in the life insurance business, is where you basically start your own business and you work for companies. You can work for any company you want, but the success rate is abysmal, right? Mm-hmm. People who start that. So sure. It's a difficult business to get into. Mm-hmm. And so with his MLM, I'm sure it's the same story.
Yeah, that's how the critique, like I saw a guy break his whole business down. And when you see it like this, it looks, oh my God, it seems so bad. Right. Because
like compared to every other.
Well, they'll do is go, this is like, he has 1,000 employees. And
are they employees? Well, or are they independent people who have signed up?
So I don't know the actual, but 1,000 people that work for his business company,
or however his company,
whatever, right? And they'll show that 1% of them.
That's probably standard.
Yeah,
in the
and
insurance
99% of them aren't
the
even breaking minimum wage.
Yeah, and Doug says it's probably standard. That's probably why he's,
it is standard. But the fact that it's high profile and the fact that it's an MLM probably highlights it, more for people. And then they get upset about it.
There's
but
a lot
the truth
of
is, it's a tough, tough business.
Excuse.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. All right. Let me get back to aromatherapy. Oh, so I used to, and shame on me, okay? I didn't think about it since. I just haven't thought about it. But as a younger trainer, when people would bring up aromatherapy, like I'd roll my eyes so hard, I could see the back of my
head. I'm doing that right now.
Yeah. Because anything that wasn't like, strength training, cardio, diet, like whatever, right? But of course it has an effect. Smells have an effect on us. Duh. Like, bad smells have an effect. Good smells have an effect. They affect the brain in different ways. Well, they did a study on some of these smells and sleep. You know what they found?
Mm.
There was a 226% boost in cognitive performance was observed in a study using aromatherapy during sleep. So during sleep, people were able to wake up and the next day have better memories of things and just sharper by smelling certain smells while they were sleeping. The smells that they used were rose, orange, eucalyptus, lemon, peppermint, rosemary, and lavender. So every night for 6 months, this led to a drastic improvement in memory and brain health in adults who were 60 to 85. Just from smelling
That's wild.
These things while they were sleeping.
Do you know that there are, I think lavender is one of them. I think basil is one of them. There's certain plants that put off smells that will repel insects.
Of course.
So I think that's really interesting too. Like there's certain things that you can grow in your garden or so that will naturally keep them away too.
Well, what I was going to say about this, think about this, like it's improving cognitive performance and particular memory. Can anything trigger a old memory faster than a smell?
I was going to say that.
And
that
it's a strong, we've talked about this before.
Nothing like smell. Yeah. Like I'll smell something and be like, I'm there, third grade. I remember where I was sitting.
Like subconscious, that must be deep because if it's in your sleep and you're smelling that and you're having better.
I think what it's doing, so the olfactory circuitry is connected to the parts of the brain that are responsible for memory. So what's probably happening is you're strengthening, exercising the memory circuitry while you're sleeping by sense.
So now after you read that and that opens your mind a little bit, what do you think about things like sound therapy and sound healing?
Oh God.
Cause now you're, it's
again, I want to roll my eyes, but I mean, sound affects us. So it's probably something there.
Well, yeah, you saw that they, I read this a long time. I don't know if it's true, but a lot of the bells in most cities that they've removed.
Yeah.
And like the resonance of bells, like that has some kind of like some kind of healing effect of some kind.
Well, it puts a vibration off too.
Yeah.
So you got to think that it's
cymatics is there's a whole like science.
It's interesting to me, right? I've never bought into it either. I've never done it and stuff like that, but I'm aware of it. I know clients that have done it and have been into it and they swear by it.
I know I'm always like, well, not as much anymore. I try to be a little bit different, but it used to be for me like, oh, placebo. And someone says that, someone was rubbing a bowl and the sounds healed me.
Yeah.
And in my head,
I know it's a
placebo effect. It's really powerful.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, do sounds affect you? Yeah. Music affects us.
You talk about all the time how certain workout music is.
Of course.
Get you. And then you change it to other ones when you need to be more calming and relaxed.
Of course.
That makes sense.
I had a great conversation with one of our, one of the Mind Pump clients outside on the way in this morning. So I come in this morning early. And Marcello's client is walking in. So people aren't familiar. We're offering, I won't say their name, but people aren't familiar. We offer online coaching and personal training, very limited, super limited, because we're just really trying to build the best possible team. And the slow, like the filtering process for us is ridiculous. Like you have to have the best character. Otherwise you're not going to work here. I don't care what your resume says. And we have a long process of internship, et cetera. Anyway, so Marcelo's client's walking in as I'm walking in. So I'm like, hey, how you doing? How's your workouts going? And she's like, it's the weirdest thing. It was the best. It's the compliment you want to hear. She goes, I said, how's your training with Marcelo? Oh, he's so awesome. He's so great. He knows his stuff. I love working with him. So what about your results? She goes, it's so weird. I feel like I'm barely doing anything and my body's responding like crazy and it doesn't make any sense.
Best.
And I hear that
place to be.
I said, that's how it's supposed to feel.
Yep.
It should not feel like you're clawing at progress, like you're scraping the walls and grinding for every little, you know, percent body fat loss and, you know, pound of muscle, you know, gain or whatever. It should feel like your body's working with you, not against you. And that's exactly what she said on the way in. So really, really cool.
I had it. I was on the call last. So last night was my turn to be in the transformation group that's going on. And they're right now, the phase that they're in. So remember, phase one is reverse diet. Phase two is toggling back and forth between the cut, bulk. And then the final phase is where we ramp up. And, you know, Kyle asked, you know, how did you feel when you went through this? I don't know if you guys remember, but this was when, I got really frustrated. So if you remember, I was doing the body fat test all the whole way. And this was the one where I didn't get the results I want. Now it was still positive, right? The whole way through, I saw positive change, but the goal in month two was to see myself reduce body fat and lean out. And I ended up building muscle. Man, I didn't put any body fat on, but I also didn't lose any body fat, which that was the goal. And so I'm talking to them about that part of the you know transformation process. I said, man, when you're in that kind of middle zone, you've already reverse dieted, you're not like aggressively cutting, you're kind of hovering. It's difficult psychologically. It's really hard because you feel like you're not seeing any fast progress. Yeah. You know the things you're doing are important, but you're not seeing radical change, and there's that temptation to want to push it. And also in my case, what I was talking to this group about is, you know, hey, I've been doing this for a really long time. A lot of people done it with myself a bunch, yet I still make mistakes here. Here I am in this, you know, one week bulk, one week cut. And when I, at the end of the month, I come back, my results are the same. Now I didn't, you know, cry over spilled milk, but what I did go is like, wow, obviously when I thought I was in a cut, I was probably more in a maintenance or even a slight surplus for me to end up building muscle and to not lose any body fat. And so the learning lesson for me was that, you know, even though I was pretty confident that I was making all good food choices, I was eating out a lot. I was, when we were traveling, we had flown two different times.
Just weren't able to track properly.
Yeah. And it made all good choices. I'll take the chicken salad and I'll have the eggs at the airport. And like, I did all these things to try and mitigate that. But when you don't have control of it and I don't know exactly how everything's made.
And you're a fitness expert.
Yeah. And so that was really the conversation to them is under. And so I was like, listen, so when this month ends, and those results come in, and if they're not what you want them to say, don't turn it into this doesn't work or screwed up. It's like, it's insight to what you're currently doing. And maybe you're like me, maybe you think you're doing a really good job, but you're not tracking as accurate as you think you are. And so you got to be able to go through these periods of time in a journey and not allow moments of not getting the results you want as this F it, throw your hands up and quit, but better reframe that as like even more insight to your own behaviors and yourself and how your body responds.
The answer's there.
Yeah. And you're getting that one step closer or getting one step better at this craft. And so,
What a great journey you're illustrating, Adam, because for someone who pursues fitness lifelong and they're doing it for the right reasons and they're developing a healthy attitude around it, you learn about your body. You learn about what makes your body do certain things and feel particular ways.
Yeah.
In a world that tells you to ignore your body, in a world that tells you to stuff yourself and, you know, give in to every whim, this teaches you so much about yourself. Think about the carryover that has into every aspect of your life. Think about the times when you should go to the doctor and you didn't, or when you go to the doctor and you shouldn't have.
Make those micro adjustments when needed.
That's right. Yeah. It's like such a such an empowering journey if you do this the right way, which is so cool.
I told the clients there's really two, the clients that follow through and do it right, there's two attitudes you're going to have when you're done. That is saying that you execute everything. I said, you're going to have the attitude where you do it and you execute everything, and you're going to have this like, holy shit, that's what it takes to move the needle in the direction I want to. And you're going to have excitement around it. Then there's the other people that you're going to do all those things, and then you're going to have the, holy shit, I had to do all that just to incrementally move mm-hmm. that much. This is going to take a lot of consistency. Mm-hmm. And so no matter what, it gives you that insight.
You get the answer.
And you have to have, and you're, and you decide your attitude about that. But, you know, unfortunately, we put body fat on really fast and really easy, but it's a really slow process to get rid of it. And there's a really slow process to build muscle. And I think people have their expectations aren't aligned with reality. And so when they go about a journey like this and then they get the return that they're supposed to get for what they did, they're like, oh my God, like I didn't get to, yeah, it doesn't happen that way. That's right. Mm-hmm. And this is what's kept you from getting it. It's like, you just need to do that for longer. Now, the thing I told them that was really positive, back to what we've already talked about in this episode, it's like investing. I said, you know, the first few times you put a couple $100 away and saved it or invested it, like it didn't make you rich. Mm-hmm. But once you start to build those habits and you do it for months and then years and then a decade, I said, let me tell you, one of the things I'm learning still today, and this is a part of the journey I'm really enjoying and loving, is now that I'm in my 40s and I've been doing this for over 2.5 decades, it's actually really easy. I know exactly what I need to do yep. to keep myself in that range with eating habits. I know I barely have to touch weights because I've built so much muscle from all those years. And so it's like, it's just like the guy or the girl who's been investing for their half their life. And now they get to enjoy it and spend it a little bit. It's like, man, you can go blow and spend for a while and you still got plenty, still right. compounding interest and making money for you. But that didn't happen overnight.
That's right. Yeah. So, speaking of which, I had a nice little, I needed a bit of an ego boost. Just, you know, hurt right. myself,
you gotta win.
Not working out as much. I went this morning to get some blood work for, you know, my hormone therapy, peptide stuff. And I have to do that. You have to do this every few months. They test your blood. Mm-hmm. So I go in there and they did the full thing. They want to do blood pressure. So the nurse puts the blood pressure cuff on me. We had to get the big one, dude. We had to get the obese. The obese person's cuff.
First time for you?
Just didn't fit. Adam doesn't know what I'm talking about.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. That one ain't gonna work. I've definitely had some people try because they see you're lean and so that, so they assume you're gonna be the small cuff, and then they're over there trying to force it. I'm like, yeah, we probably don't need this one.
She's like, let me go get the extra large one. Mike, you get the one, is that the one for obese people? And they laughed. And said, all right, put it on. So anyway, I feel better now.
Nice. That's great.
Nice.
That's
good. You're gonna be getting calls from the bariatric center.
That's you, right? Element is the world's best electrolyte powder. There's no artificial sweeteners, no sugar, and it has the right amount of sodium, 1,000 milligrams per packet. Most electrolyte powders are too scared to put that much sodium, but we all know that sodium is essential for muscle contractions, performance, cognitive function, especially if you go low carb on your diet or you don't eat any heavily processed foods. Go check them out. See for yourself. Go to drinklmnt.com/mindpump, and on that link, you'll get a free sample pack with any drink mix purchase. All right, back to the show.
First question is from KE52309. Thoughts on the Australian study on creatine showing no more muscle gain than someone not taking creatine?
I didn't know about this study.
This was one study.
What? Oh, God.
Doug, actually, if you could look up the study.
Yeah, let's look at it up.
So they had people take creatine first, wait till the load happened. Then they trained both groups of individuals to see if the creatine group, so one group loaded, the other group didn't. Then they went in and had them strength trained. And then they say, okay, does the creatine group build more muscle than the other one? Because they wanted to account for the hydration that happens in the creatine. Now, the study, I believe, was 12 weeks, maybe, Doug, if you can find it and look up the whole thing. Anyway.
Yeah, 12 weeks.
It was a 12-week study. Okay, so here's the deal, okay? First off, when you're looking at studies, what you want to look at is a consensus. Meta-analysis is typically what you want to look at, because I can find studies that say...
And there's already a lot of meta-analysis on creatine.
Creatine's the most studied supplement. There is no supplement with more studies done, peer-reviewed, double-blind, placebo-controlled studies like creatine. It is so well, it's been studied so many times for so many years, and the consensus by far shows that it improves strength and aids in muscle recovery and growth. Now, the muscle growth you get from creatine is not like taking some, you know, muscle building serum. where in 12 weeks you're going to see this radical difference. But what will happen over time, probably over a year or two, is you're going to build a little bit more muscle because of the super hydration, right? So your muscles have more fluid in them and because they have more ATP. But what you definitely will get is a strength boost. That's clear. You'll definitely get cognitive benefits. You'll definitely get health benefits. The muscle building effects are not these this huge thing that you can measure in 12 weeks. And some of the muscle gain, in well, I should say, most of the lean body mass gain you get in the very beginning really is just your muscles being more hydrated and pumped. By the way, your muscles are 70% water. So that's, and that's all lean body mass. That's all counted as lean.
Well,
body
and
mass.
I mean, just the performance boost of one more rep or, like accounting for just a slight increase in volume sometimes, whether that's by loading or, you know, an extra rep. It's, it all plays into factor.
I also think this is an awesome opportunity to highlight this. This for sure is the best supplement on the market. And this is just how good it is.
Yeah.
That just shows you how little supplements make a fucking difference.
That's right.
There you go. I mean, everybody's looking for this. I mean, we've been saying this since day one. I've never had a client in my life that I radically changed their life or built the best physique, and they went, "Man, sure glad we took those supplements." Or I could point to, it was never that. It's never that. Does it mean that there's not benefits to these things? Like, sure, there's enough science and research to show that in these controlled environments that this moves the needle a little bit here, this gives you one more rep, this, but in the grand scheme of things, supplements don't mean dick. They're just so little of a difference. Overhyped, and this is the best one, and yet you can still show
it's
a study.
It's not just the best one. It's the best one by far.
Yeah, by far.
By far. It's so much better than any other supplement for health benefits, cognitive benefits, longevity, muscle. But the reason why it's so far and away ahead from the other ones is because it consistently shows some benefit. That's all it does. It's not like this crazy benefit. It's not like you take creatine and it's like, man, I'm D1 college, and if I just took creatine, I'd go pro. It's not going to make a difference.
No,
it's not going to make you go pro.
It's when you think about it, it's a bit wild. It's not. I mean, we understand human psychology and why, because we're all looking for the shortcut and the easy fix, and it's marketed to us really well. But it's a bit wild that the supplement industry is as big as it is. Yeah. Like, it really should be something that the fanatical sows are the only ones that really buy, because they're already doing all the other things. And it's like, man, I think I felt that, you know, and it's like playing with it, like just for the sake of it. But yet everybody buys them. And I mean, every one of my family members, probably one of the first things I told you guys, we have a thread that's just like for ask me health and fitness. It's always supplements. Always supplements. Yeah. It's just like, God, you guys.
It's because the information that you read around health, a lot of the information is geared towards selling a product, because that's how they make money. It's a consumable product. It's very hard to sell information, everybody. Our podcast is free. Okay. We don't sell our podcast. We have sponsors that attach to the podcast. And what do they typically sell? Products.
Yeah.
But information is hard to sell. So how do you make money is you create a product and you sell it. So what happens is, so much content is in the health space that's geared towards selling a product that our perception of what of its value is completely skewed.
Completely.
Because we read so many articles and so many posts and so many things about this supplement, that compound, that we think it's so valuable, because it's hard to make money off of selling proper exercise information and proper diet information. Yeah. It just doesn't, you'd have to write a book, and it'd have to be a radical, crazy book
people
to make
products.
A difference. That's right. So it's just, it's a skewed, like when you're looking for advice on how to get healthy and fit and you look up, you know, health and fitness advice, you're going to get so much more information that's going to be geared towards supplements, but it's not because they make a big difference.
I mean, that's why this study is getting popularity right now, because we know that creatine is the best, and that yet you can still poke holes in it, that it's not that great. And it's because it's been oversold to us that it's so amazing. And it, in comparison to all the supplements, it is so amazing. Right. But in comparison to the things that move the needle, it don't mean shit.
Nope.
It's just not that important. You can never take it and see incredible results.
Mm-hmm. Next question is from Fulvio Castle. Why does my second working set often feel better than the first one? The same even applies to reps.
It's the central nervous system adaptation.
It's the response.
Yeah. Period. Your central nervous system adapts right away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's your central nervous system is the computer that controls everything in the body. It's your brain, your spine. It tells your muscles when to fire, how to fire, how hard to fire, what kind of contraction you need, how they work together. It's incredibly complex. and it learns on the fly. So you practice something, the second time around, it's already more fine-tuned and efficient. You practice it again, even more fine-tuned.
You shared a great story earlier about Randy Couture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's an example of the efficiency of the central nervous system, and you getting a set in and reps in before is the body doing that subconsciously.
Yep.
It's going like, like you grab the bar, and it's not like immediately. It's like you start doing the movement. It's like, okay, all over your body. It's like, I remember this movement. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what
What's
we need
the sequence again?
Yeah, yeah. You go. It's like your body's communicating to itself on what it needs to do. So then when you get under a second time, which by the way, this is the science behind MAPS Prime and priming, is helping people so
exactly.
that when they get right into their workout, their body's already, we're ready to go. Sequence is set.
If people focused or understood the effects of the central nervous system better, you know who understands this? What kind of strength coaches understand this? Olympic coaches and powerlifting coaches really get this. If you trained your central nervous system or understood how to leverage it, your results will go through the roof. You brought up priming. If you prime your body properly and you do this properly over the course of a year, you'll see better results than if you took creatine. Let me put it that way. We talked about
supplements. A lot better.
Way better results.
Yeah.
By properly priming your body and getting your CNS to be as effective and efficient as possible.
What a great way to pull it back to that, Sal, because that's such a great example. Ain't nobody going out there. I shouldn't say nobody. Very small percentage of people are going out there and putting some energy and focus on preparing their body for their workout and priming it correctly. Yeah. Yet the return on it is what, 100x what the best creatine product done consistently? Yet nobody does it. But yet everybody wants to argue, debate the best brand, the best this. And it's crazy that we have these little things that we miss out on. But it's the work, it's the effort. It's like, you know, I got to learn, I got to figure it out. I'll just take the powder and take less results.
Next question is from D Prior 30. I'm falling into a peptide rabbit hole and am getting blasted with social media marketing for them. When or how do I know it's time to pull the trigger on introducing them? What boxes need to be checked first?
Sal.
Yeah. Peptides are fascinating. I mean, so these are, technically they're labeled the pharmaceutical, but really what peptides are is these are signaling
amino acids.
Chemicals. They're chains of amino acids. I hate it when people say that because so is, lots of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what a peptide is, it's a signaling chemical that already exists in the body that tells your body to do certain things. Either it says
produce more of something.
Yeah. Either it says accelerate, production of collagen, or signals the release of growth hormone, or the healing of certain area, whatever. These are signaling chemicals that already exist in the body. And so what we've done is we've identified them, either copied them identically or changed them a little bit, because now we know the sequence, we know what they communicate to. And then you use them. Now they're typically very short acting, not all of them, some of them are long acting, but typically they're very short acting. And you're essentially signaling the body to do what it would normally do with a signal it recognizes. Okay, this is different than a drug. Right? A drug, we identify a receptor and we try to invent a way to hammer that receptor to produce a particular result. What ends up happening typically are side effects.
Take over its job.
Yeah, receptors downregulate and stuff like that. So peptides generally have a much higher safety profile, generally are healthier, they're pro-regenerative. I think that peptides are the future of pharmaceutical interventions. I really, really do. I think probably 10 years from now, most doctors are going to be using peptides on a regular basis. I think they're amazing. What do you need to do first? Eat right, get good sleep, exercise, because peptides won't fix that. There is no peptide that'll fix any of that. I would put peptides in a category above supplements, but still doesn't touch sleep, exercise, and lifestyle. It's not going to change your life. That being said, for people who are doing everything right and there are specific things that they're dealing with, peptides, you definitely notice them.
That's where I think they're a little bit cooler or neater. It's like you can target specific things, like somebody's got gut stuff, if you got an injury, like I think BPC-157 was
amazing.
I mean, I've done it enough times, been injured enough times, that I'm pretty confident, like it's like a measurable difference. Like it's like
probably
half.
If
I had to guesstimate a number, I'd say it cuts the recovery time in half, which that, when you think about that in the sports performance world, and even for the average person who gets hurt, that's badass. And so for specific things like that, I think peptides are. Now, for the average consumer, who is what I would say is like our average client, who just wants to get leaner and build muscle and burn body fat, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Even it being better than supplements, because again, the big rocks are going to move the needle the most, mm-hmm. and checking those boxes are the most important, and you don't need peptides, but I think they're cool. And I think the specific applications, they're more interesting to me. Yeah. That's what I think is really neat.
Yeah. And what you're getting is people who have the expendable income, who take their health and fitness or performance seriously, they use peptides. Mm-hmm. They use them regularly, because you notice they definitely do make a difference. They're not, you know, like anabolic steroids and stuff like that from a performance standpoint, but I mean, they work.
You know, that's how I always recommend it. Even supplements, I've always recommended that way with my clients, through if you have disposable income.
Yeah.
If you have disposable income, they all give you a little bit of the competitive edge. Yeah. They're all neat. They're all cool. They all have benefits. We've researched enough of the peptides and enough supplements to know like what they can and can't do. But it's like, you need to have enough disposable income that you really don't care. Otherwise, if you're somebody who's like, should I spend that money on this? I've only got a couple hundred. It's like, no. It's like, it's not. If you're tight financially,
just get good food.
The last thing you should be doing is spending $300 to $500 a month on supplements. Like, that's a terrible idea, because there's so many other things that you can do for free, mm-hmm. that will massively change your body, your physique, and your health. But hey, if you're checking all those boxes and you got disposable income, why not?
Next question is from Jay Bissett 72. How do I make myself get to the gym when I know I need to go? Just don't seem to have any reason why I don't.
So it's like this is a discipline,
self-motivation thing.
Yeah, not a motivate, because what's probably happening, what it sounds like is happening, is you're relying on feeling motivated.
That's it.
Which, if you rely on your feelings, you're gonna be inconsistent, because you're gonna feel motivated sometimes you won't. So you have to create a habit and create discipline. And what does that look like in a scenario like this? You make a deal with yourself. I don't want to work out. Okay, I'm going to go to the gym and do one exercise. I'm going to do one exercise.
You still show up. Yeah. That's it. And then you adjust your plan accordingly.
That's it. And in my experience, I actually had a client. It's funny. I had a client that really struggled with this. They had a bad relationship with exercise in the past. And so we had this conversation, and I convinced her. I said, okay, do this then. On those days you just don't want to go, drive to the gym, listen to your favorite book, and then sit in the parking lot for 5 minutes and then drive home if you still don't want to go in. And 7 out of 10 times she went inside the gym.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But every time she was able to at least drive there and continue to.
So I did something similar, right. And I do this myself even. This is like, most people have to do this because their schedule with work, kids, family, all those things is like, okay, this is the time or the days I have available to do this. So once you kind of figure that out, then it becomes a non-negotiable that I'm going to the gym or I'm going to do. But what's negotiable is what I do. Mm-hmm. Like, I can definitely muster up the energy to go walk on a treadmill. And so I used to be like, you just go, you know, we both agreed that Monday, Wednesday, Fridays at 3 PM is your for an hour is your time. You show up. I don't give a shit. And you know what? If you're having a rough day, you don't feel good, anything like that, just go walk on the treadmill.
Yeah.
Go put your favorite book on, or go put your favorite song on and just go walk. And that will be really good for you. But, you know, if you got it, get your workout in. And maybe you only do one set, then you go home because you're not feeling it. That's fine. I'm okay with all that. Just build the habit of you go there on these days at this time, and then allow that flexibility and freedom. And I think that by itself ends up resulting in what you're saying, where it's like, hey, sometimes they will. They'll just go there, or maybe they turn back around. But most times they'll do something, and something is better than nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think I had a real hard time with that for a long time, of always being like all or nothing. I had to be like the best workout, everything dial or nothing. It's just like, that was such a stupid. You
abandon that. All
no. And that way results in the yo-yo.
Yep.
I'm either in great shape or I'm in horrible shape. One of the biggest differences in my life today is that I don't have those massive swings anymore. You know, there's periods of time where I'm in really, really good shape, but I never really get way out because I have that, like, you know, right now I'm cruising. Maybe I'm doing a lot of walking and a lot of mobility.
What's really most interesting about this conversation, this is one of those things where, you know, we all had careers as trainers, and we all came to the same conclusion independently because we figured out how to help people become consistent. Mm-hmm. So it works. If you're listening to this, it works. Just show up and tell yourself it's okay if you do almost nothing.
Yep.
If you do that and you do that consistently, it will turn into something.
Yeah.
That is worthwhile, even if it's 5 minutes on the treadmill. This works. So I used to do this with clients. I had some clients that had even a difficult time showing up to personal training, And I gave them the green light. I said, you could show up and say, Sal, I just feel like going on a walk. And that's what we do.
Yeah.
And some of these clients, even what I would do in the beginning is I sometimes wouldn't even charge them the session just to let them feel like they're not wasting it. And some of these people, I can think of two people in my head right now that till this day, I haven't trained them for 13 years. They're consistent. They turned it into something that now they're doing for the rest of their life. Wow. Really cool. Look, if you like the show, come find us on Instagram. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano. Adam's at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.
At Subaru of North Miami, our dedicated team is committed to providing exceptional customer service. Explore our extensive inventory of new Subarus, including the latest 25 Forester and Outback models in stock now. Start your journey from the comfort of home by browsing our online inventory. And remember, our certified technicians use only genuine Subaru parts to keep your Subaru running smoothly. Our brand new state-of-the-art facility is coming soon. Visit us at Subaru of North Miami, where great deals are waiting for you. This is North Miami.
Longer days mean one extra hour of fetch. Are you making the most of time outdoors? With Invisible Fence brand, you can. Our professional installation and training take the hassle out of keeping your pet safe, so you spend more time enjoying your pet. Make the most out of the season with Invisible Fence brand. Save $150 with code IHEART150 on visiblefence.com/iHeart. That's invisiblefence.com/iHeart.